Lisa, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I hope you guys are.
Wonderful. It's good to hear from you. We wanted to do a Lawyer Up live here from Appalachian State University because a couple of things. First of all, we have some quirky legal stories to talk about. And also, there's been a break in the Zimmerman trial, and you were just texting and talking to Chris Dim about this. What happened yesterday in the Zimmerman trial in Florida that's such a big deal?
Well, to me, it is absolutely huge that the judge is going to allow the jury to consider the lesser charge of manslaughter. Because up until yesterday, I felt strongly that the prosecution had not met their burden of proof and that the defense had thrown reasonable doubt all over the place, and that for the second-degree murder charge, there was no way the jury was going to come back with a conviction. But now, given the jury the ability to compromise or feel that they are giving this lesser, what they would perceive to be a more lenient type of a conviction, that opens the door to, I think, the great possibility of them doing that. And the really tricky thing that the jury won't know is the way Florida's sentencing goes, because there was a gun involved, the sentence will be at least equal, even if they go with manslaughter, the sentence will be at least equal to a second-degree murder conviction. So it's really no, the outcome is really no different, but the jury won't know that.
Whoa. That's, now, that it seems like the jury should know that.
You know, that's often the way it is. It's the jury is not supposed to consider the sentence when they're considering these. They're supposed to just focus on the elements that have to be proven. And so there are many instances where the jury won't know the real outcome of what they're about to do, which seems kind of crazy, but it happens all the time. In this situation, it's very common for this type of case for the jury to kind of want to punish the guy in some way and to feel like that manslaughter is the way to do it. So I think now it's a much tougher call, because now they have this option that the jury will perceive as being much lighter when it's really not.
Yeah. Do you think that this is the judge who is, in hearing the case, thinking, well, this guy did something, I want to punish him in some way? Has she overstepped her bounds?
You know, I mean, it's perfectly within her bounds to do it, but I think it's pretty evident that she is not a fan of Zimmerman. I think she is very pro-prosecution, and I think we've seen that in the way she has regarded his attorney. And, I think this was definitely a move. I mean, there have been folks who even believe that if there was any type of an innocent verdict, that she would try to influence that, which it would be overstepping. But this call is well within her bounds.
Do you think this opens the door for an appeal if Zimmerman is convicted?
Oh, I think he'll appeal if he's convicted, no doubt. And I think that's part of the reason that she was, you know, berating him about his decision not to testify and that sort of thing. I think she's trying to head off any potential appeals everywhere she can. But I think he'll definitely appeal if he's convicted.
And when do you think we'll get the results, the verdict, in next week?
Yeah, I think it'll be sometime next week. I think that they're calling, at least when it was second degree murder, everybody thought it was going to be over very quickly, because I think most analysts agreed with me that if it was second degree murder, it was an easy call. But now we might see a longer deliberation, because this definitely opens the door for compromise.
Very interesting. Big development yesterday in the Zimmerman trial in Florida. Lisa Lanier, our official attorney, is on from Lanier Law Group. And we had a story earlier this week we were talking about a guy, he was from Missouri, who was arrested. And he actually confessed to a crime while he was high on hallucinogenic mushrooms, or as I call them, shrooms, for the kids.
Thanks, Sergeant Friday.
For the kids,
these kids are all over shrooms.
While he was high on the shrooms, he confessed to the crime, which got him 12 years in prison. And now he is saying, wait a minute, they should never have taken my confession. I was high. I was on drugs at the time. Lisa, does he have a case here? Could he get the confession thrown out?
You know, in his particular situation, no. And the key is the Fifth Amendment protects us against self-incrimination. And what it boils down to is your Miranda warning. If you waive that right and you start talking, the real focus is on your state of mind when you waived that right. And the folks who practice in that area all the time call it the Vic standard, which is the waiver must be voluntary, intelligent, and knowing. And the idea is, does your impairment or intoxication take away from that voluntarily, giving that statement? And so in this situation, the judge looked at all the facts surrounding him that day, you know, and other, and basically the judge decided that he was not sufficiently impaired for it to interfere with his ability to make that decision to waive that right. And that standard
On his side.
I really felt bad for
Shroom
Guy.
I know,
I did too.
Yeah, Shroom Guy. No, he was not that impaired. You have to be obliterated. You have to be basically unconscious.
Yeah, but I just picture him obliterated.
Yeah. Well, apparently the judge really looked at all the other circumstances and the other conversations and the other actions surrounding this waiver and said, no, you were making conscious decisions. You were fine.
Okay. Well, all right. One more quick story, too.
That's a message to the students.
Yeah.
Y'all hear that, right?
Get obliterated. Is that right?
Don't go halfway.
Don't go half in.
Go for it.
Go for it. That's what she's saying. And finally, and this is out of Arizona, there is a case today that's pretty interesting. A guy is running what many are considering a prostitution ring because guys will call up and basically book an escort, a prostitute, come have sex with her. And he has been arrested for running the prostitution ring, but he says, no, that's not the case. We videotape everything that is done, and then we give it to the person who comes in, the guy who comes into the situation, and it's because of that, it's amateur porn. And I'm running a porn shop, which is legal in his part of Arizona. And so he is saying it's porn, not prostitution, and that's legal. Is he going to win this case, Lisa Lanier?
You know, I don't think he will. He's tried to be really clever in the way he has set this up and make it seem like it's porn. But the problem is that people don't pay to do this typically. And so what's happening here is he's selling a sex act, which is prostitution. You just can't do that. And he's taking the customer's money and probably paying these women. And if it were a situation where it was like a sex club, like he's making it out to be, then the women would pay too, you know, and the men would pay, and it would have to be something more like a membership to a club or something like that where people just come and can connect rather
like
than
a Costco.
This situation.
Except they don't take your picture there.
They check your receipt when you leave. You got a handy. Yeah.
Smiley face on the receipt.
Yeah. You were here a short time, I see.
Exactly.
I was kind of pulling for this guy too, Lisa. I was on his side like I was on Shroom Guy's side.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think I talked to you guys offline once about somebody that I knew that actually ran a club like this, and there's a legal way to do it. But I knew a guy that ran a swingers club, and he would charge people like $1,500 a year to join this thing, and then they had to pay several hundred dollars for the weekend. And what they would get access to is they would block off a whole floor of a hotel and have all these different rooms, like the bondage room and the, you know, girl on girl room and the whatever room, and you would have access to that, as and everyone paid to get into it. So men paid, women paid. It was a, you know, swingers, kind of a couples only kind of thing. If he'd done that, he would have been okay.
Mm-hmm. $1,500 a year.
So it's what, $120 a month?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Better than a country club.
Yes.
What I'm saying.
You know, based on Biggie's new wristwatch, he's got disposable income.
He has it.
Do you think there was a normal room where things are just come in, finish? Yeah.